Hallelujah. It's an honor to be in the presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. Amen. I give high honor to your pastor, his absence. Amen. His trust in me. Amen. I just want to follow the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. I didn't come to preach to anybody that's not here under the sound of my voice. I don't know if you live stream or not. Amen. But I didn't come to preach to anybody outside these four walls here tonight. Amen. The Lord knew who would be here. The Lord knows the situations in each and every one of our lives. The very number of the hairs on our head, He knows. Amen. Amen. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. Amen. We'll begin reading at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16, begin reading at verse number 13. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. I appreciate His goodness and mercy to me. Amen. What a good, good Father we serve today. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Verse 16, "Thou art the Christ," this is Peter talking, "the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I want to call your attention back to verse number 15. Jesus saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Amen. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me one more time here tonight? Lord, we love you today. God, we're thankful for your word. God, we're thankful for your presence that we felt here. God, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts in a special way, in a direct way, oh God. God, we know that your word, it is anointed and it is forever settled in heaven. But Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay to preach the word that you have given to me this night. God, that you would anoint our hearts and our ears to hear and to understand your word. God, that you would speak to us through your word here tonight, Lord. We are hungry to hear what you would say. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord, bless you tonight. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. I want to preach for a few moments on a very simple thought. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Amen. We understand the setting here. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he tells Peter, he said, "You got to understand, Peter, that flesh and blood did not reveal to you who I am." He said, "It was the Spirit of God that gave you that revelation." Amen. He said, "You, Peter, you didn't come to this knowledge and to this understanding on your own, but it was the Spirit of God that revealed it. This was a revelation to you, Peter." Amen. Peter had walked with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. He had seen miracles in person. He had better than a bird's eye view. He had a first person understanding of the power of Jesus. Amen. He had seen the many miracles. He had seen the miraculous happen. And yet just being in proximity means nothing without a revelation. Just being in proximity means nothing without a revelation of who he is. You've got to know who he is. Amen. It's great to come to church and to worship. Amen. To worship the living, true God. To praise him, and rightfully so. And we ought to do so just as we did a few moments ago. Amen. We ought to lift our voice and sing. Whether we can carry a tune in the bucket or we're on the right note, it don't even matter. We were created to make his praise glorious. But can I tell you here tonight that even with all of the worship, even with all of the praise, you've got to know why we worship. Even with all of the singing and the shouting and the running in the aisles, we've got to know why we do those things. Speaking in tongues is great. It's the initial sign of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we've got to know why we speak in tongues. We've got to know why we give praise. And it comes from a revelation of who He is. Amen. We've got to know who He is, the mighty God in Christ, the everlasting Father. Just being close to the presence of God does us no good unless we allow it to change who we are. Amen. We can come to church day in and day out, and rightfully so. We ought to be in church. We ought to make every effort to be there every time that the doors are open. Amen. I understand work will come in the way sometimes and things happen and people have to work. I get that. Amen. But if it is in our power, we ought to be in church every time the door is open. Amen. We ought to be in the presence of God. Amen. This is the place where we meet together. I understand you can feel God at your home, or you can feel God driving down the road in your car. Amen. I've heard testimony that a man who wasn't saved felt the Holy Ghost, amen, in a bar room convicting him that what he was doing wasn't right. Amen. But the Bible tells us to forsake not the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Amen. It takes you and I coming together in the house of God. Amen. I need to hear your prayers. You need to hear my prayers. I want to be encouraged when I see you worship. Amen. You're going to be encouraged when you see me worship. We are the family of God. Amen. And yet we can come into the presence of God and feel His divine presence like we did a few moments ago and remain unchanged. Sadly, some people will come to church over their lifetime. They'll come for years to the house of God. Amen. They'll hear preaching and teaching. They'll participate in worship. Amen. And yet they will remain unchanged because they have not allowed the Spirit of God to change them. Every one of us, we have the power of choice. God does not affect our free will. He gives us the power to choose. We can accept the infallible word of God. And by accepting the infallible word, it brings about obedience. Amen. You can't accept it without obeying it. Amen. Amen. Or we can reject it. It's up to us. Now, Jesus is here standing in front of Peter, the creator of heaven and earth, robed in flesh. He's standing in front of Peter in human form. I don't know at that moment if Peter really understood the hugeness, if I could say it that way in just country boy terminology, the magnitude of who he was standing in front of. The Ancient of Days, the one which was and is to come, the Almighty. The one the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I don't understand, but he's standing in front of the Spirit of God who took on human form, born of a virgin, and standing in front of him just like you and I are here today in front of each other. Amen. The word tells us emphatically in Hebrews 4 and 15 that Jesus was touched by the feelings that you and I have. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus has felt what you feel. He's felt rejected. He's felt the doubt. He's felt fear. He's felt being disowned by his friends, being abandoned. He's felt what you and I feel. Amen. This is who is standing there. He's felt weakness. He's felt temptation. Oh, the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. That the writer uses the feelings of our infirmities. My. Our human frailness, if you will. He felt it. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. My. He's not just the creator of the ends of the earth, but he's felt what you and I feel. There's a human aspect to the creator of the universe. And so he's standing there. The man who came and felt pain and experienced death, hell, and the grave. He's standing in front of Peter. He died for the sins of the whole world. But yet we must bring it down to where we live. He died for my sins. He died for my sins. Look at somebody and tell them, he died for your sins. Amen. Amen. We have to have a connecting point as individuals. You and I, we're flesh and blood. He died for me. He died for you. It's humbling to think that the God of all creation died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. It's humbling to think about life as it were and life as it would be from time before us till time after us. But he died for you. He died for me. Thank God. Thank God for his precious blood that was shed. Amen. For you and I. Amen. Amen. But much more than just dying, he came to give human format. He came to give a human tendency, if you will, a human twist, a human understanding to God, to creation. He came to give a human understanding to his purpose and to his will, if I could say it that way. And Jesus is asking the question, who do men say that I am? I want to know, who are they talking about? Who do they say that I am? Scripture tells us, oh, a prophet. Maybe John the Baptist. Maybe Elijah. Maybe Jeremiah. Amen. But then Jesus brings it down more direct, and he said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? In your own words and in your own understanding, who do you say that I am? I want to know what everybody else is saying, but I want to know who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We can read the Word of God. Amen. We can read the book of Psalms and just a few adjectives David uses in describing God. He calls him a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a shield, a stronghold. Amen. That's great because we can understand it in the words that David was telling us. Isaiah called him the King, the Creator, the Shepherd, the Savior. Going to the New Testament, he's described as the Son of God, the Messiah prophesied of in days of old, the divine word, the Logos who became flesh. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Paul speaks of him as the supreme one, that he might have preeminence, the divine one, the eternal one, the image of the invisible God. All of that is so important to know and to understand. Psalm 19, amen, read it and study it sometime. It's such a beautiful psalm. David uses this psalm to give us the understanding of the ways that God reveals himself to us. He uses the first six verses and he relates God's revelation to us, a revealing of himself to us in the world that we live in. What a beautiful world that we live in. He uses the next several verses to reveal God is revealing himself in the Word of God. Amen. And then the last part, David brings it down in introspection, the revelation of God by personal experience. Amen. We could break each one of those down here tonight, but we don't have time to do so. Amen. We don't have to be astronomers or some type of a degree in nature to understand there must be a God. Amen. We don't have to be able to understand the most intricate workings of the times and of the seasons, of the reliability to understand that God gave us time in order that plans could be put into motion. Amen. No man-made object has ever been so perfect of what God has given to us. We can read and study his word, and we ought to do so. We ought to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. But can I tell you, you can be a linguist. You can know the history. You can know everything behind the Bible. But without a personal experience, it means nothing. Without it finding its way off the pages of this beautiful old book and finding its way into your heart's inner chambers, it means nothing unless you have a personal experience with the Word of God until it is revealed to you. Who is he to you? Man, be seated. Jesus was asking, Who am I to you? I want to ask you that same question here tonight. Who is he to you? Oh, he's just the God of my father. He's just somebody that I pray to when things aren't going well in my life. He's just some guy that there's a book written about on the pages of history, and it's just somebody that my pastor or preacher preaches about sometime. He's got to become more than just a figure of history. He's got to become more than just the father of my father. He's got to become my heavenly father. The Jewish language has no word for grandfather. There's no word for grandfather. It's father. Oh, he was the God of my father. Oh, but he is my father. He is my father. Somehow or another, some way or time. Thank God for the time that you spent in church. Thank God for the time that you spent in creation and you understand looking around you. Thank God for the time you've spent in the Word of God. But until you obey the Word, until it comes down to a personal experience with God, it means nothing. We live in a world today, church, where artificial intelligence is becoming increasingly used and depended upon. It doesn't take much looking around to see the dependence upon AI that our world lives in. If you've got a smart aleck phone, you got AI, like it or not. Yeah, sometimes they are smart aleck phones. Amen. Don't say Siri too loud or she'll start talking to you. But we live in a world where it's becoming increasingly popular. Not only increasingly popular, but we are becoming increasingly dependent upon it. We've moved further and further away from a society where we work and do everything with our hands. 100 years ago, we were a straight agrarian. We farmed, we did. Now we depend upon industry. Now we depend upon science. Now we depend upon technology. And I understand that's the way that the world is going, but we depend upon it more. And so as we do, the human factor of life begins to fade away. Tasks that once depended upon a human hand or a skilled craftsman to do is now programmed into a computer, and it's done faster and sometimes more accurately. And I understand that time is money and everybody's about trying to make the dollar. I understand times are tough. We're trying to survive the best way we know how. Amen. Amen. But if I could term it this way, the real and the fake are holding hands. The real and the fake are holding hands. Robotic arms now do what skin used to do. You understand what I'm talking about. Now, I know we are human and we make mistakes. There are times when we can't figure out how to word something. And if you use ChatGPT, I'm not preaching against that here today. Understand what I'm talking to you about. But we've got to be so careful that as we advance in our world, we never lose the human aspect of who God is. The 33 years that he walked this earth, it was by no accident. What he did and what is recorded, and as John said, the books could not even contain what all he really did. But those 33 years never, ever, ever, ever will be replaced by something that's artificial. And honey, if you don't get it for real, no artificial way will ever put it in your heart. It must be there by experience. The human lens of the man, Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh, must never ever lose its effect upon our lives. There is no reaching others without the real effect of Jesus. There is no real effect. Amen. It's either real or it's nothing. This world is full of fakes. Fakes will never deliver you from drugs, alcohol, nicotine, pornography. You name it. It takes the real. Hallelujah. Be seated. We must never ever let who we are and who we were created to be become mechanical or robotic. We were created in His image. Inside every one of us, there's a frequency. You study paintings and you'll see most artists will sign their work, and rightfully so. But God did the very same of His handiwork of you and I. Inside of us there is a frequency. Amen. An old carnal song written years ago said, a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul keeps searching. Amen. But there is a frequency to every one of us that has tuned a need and a desire for God. I'm not looking for a fake. Amen. Amen. I'm not looking for something that's manufactured. But inside of me, the restless soul is searching. And it's looking for that frequency, for that tonality, for the meeting together. That's what I'm looking for. I've heard people testify about coming to a Pentecostal church for the first time. I've been to all the other churches in town. This isn't the most fancy church in town. I'm not putting down your church at all. Please don't think that. That's not my intention. This is not the biggest church in town, but something about it, when I came through those doors, Brother Charlie, I just felt something inside of me begin to be tuned towards that frequency. This is what my soul is searching for. This is what I've been looking for. It's not a manufactured feel. It's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated. Lord bless you. I read recently an article of a growing problem. Amen. A domestic problem in the world we live in of romantic so-called relationships with bots. AI bots. People, young people, so desperate for relationship, quote-unquote relationship, that they are willing to talk to a bot, for lack of a better term, a computer program that's written to respond to them however they want it to. Amen. People using that to fill a gap in their lives, and they are by consequence ruining a God-ordained aspect of their life. Don't tell me people aren't hungry. Don't tell me people aren't searching for the real. We live in concerning times. I know it's cliche, but unprecedented times. Never have we lived in such times as they are now. We need Jesus more than ever before. We need a revelation. We need an experience more than ever before. Bank tellers, they still study the real to find the fake. I spent 13 years as a police officer in Arkansas. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a bank to pick up a load of counterfeit money, man, to wait for Secret Service to come and pick it up. Can I tell you those tellers, the people that handle the money, they study the real and not the fake. They're not looking at the fake to find fake. They're looking at the real to find the fake. There must be an intimate knowledge of the real. The only solution, the only way to combat the fake is to know the real. You must know who He is. You must know Him in the power of the Holy Ghost. You must have a revelation of who He is. You must have a personal experience with Him. Can I tell you today, church, your babies, your neighbors, the people in this city, the people in the communities that you're outreaching, they depend upon you having a revelation of the real. Those that are hungry for God, they depend upon you having a revelation and knowing the real. Let me bring it down to where we live here just for a moment. But just before church, I asked ChatGPT to write me a 30-second prayer in oneness theology, giving glory to God, and I hit enter. In 3 seconds, this is what I had. Lord Jesus, we lift our voices to magnify you, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, revealed in one name, in one body, and one sacrifice. You're not one of three. You are the only wise God, our Savior. From everlasting to everlasting, you reign alone. You spoke worlds into existence, robed yourself in flesh, and redeemed us by your own blood. There is none beside you, none before you, and none after you. Our prayer is that you be glorified in this house today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's a great prayer, isn't it? Let me ask you something. Does that glorify God? Does that bring praise to the Almighty? Because I can read those beautiful words without stuttering off of my screen of my iPad. Does that give glory to God who created me? Who came and robed himself in flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. No, 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 1,000 times no. He came and he gave a human aspect to the way you and I live. He lived that way himself so that I could give him praise from a heart and from a lips who don't always speak the right thing when I ought to. No, I don't want to preach to you and stumble over my words and make a mockery of the King's English. But neither do I want something so fake that it holds no power of ever being real. Never do I ever want to lend a robotic aspect to my praise and my glory, giving glory unto him. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who shed his blood for me. I can do no less than to give him praise. Be seated. I want to be able to speak well. If you've ever led service or you've ever been behind a pulpit, you don't want to get up and say something silly and make somebody laugh when they're not supposed to or be out of turn or something like that. But can I tell you, young men, hear me well. There was a time not too long ago when there were no iPads. There was no ChatGPT. There was nothing but a preacher and a Bible and maybe a notebook page and a desire and a hunger to do something for God. I'm not preaching against an iPad here today. Please hear me out. But way down deep, there's got to be a hunger. There's got to be a well drawing from a revelation of who he is. In spite of my misspeaks, in spite of my imperfect words, that's how I was created, to give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands to him right now? Oh, I feel his presence here today. I feel his presence here today. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me just a few more moments here today. I'm closing. We live in a day and time where preachers, declarers of the word, Sunday school teachers, anybody that's presenting, they have greater ability than any speakers I've ever heard. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to some tapes from the 90s or the 80s, and if you can find recordings from before. They have the ability to say the right thing at just the right time. And it will give you a certain sense of emotion in the way that you feel what's being said. A way to carry your attention, to understand that psychologically you can only maintain the same train of thought for 7 minutes. So before the 7 minute period comes up, I'm going to say something off color to bring your attention back into focus. Hear me well today. There's a science behind it. I don't care about science here today. There was a human aspect of the man, Jesus Christ, that can never be overlooked. He came and he lived in a body like mine and yours. He felt pain. He shed blood to give a human aspect to understanding that you and I have of who he is. I'm not looking for a perfect sermon. I'm not looking for a perfect song, brother. You guys that were up here, it don't matter to me that you made a mistake. I understand I'm heavily involved in music and I want to do it right. But what's more important than having a perfect set list on a Sunday night is your ability to be in tune with the Holy Ghost, to be hungry for more of Jesus. I don't care if my suit don't look just right. I don't care if my tie gets crooked. What I've got to do is be in tune because I want to know who he is. Who is he to you today? Who is he to you today? Not according to an app on a phone. Not according to something that's manufactured or generated by a computer. But who is he to you? He cannot be just the God of my father. He's got to be my father. He cannot be just the man I heard about. But he's got to be my father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the previous chapter, Matthew 15 and 8, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I want to sing well. I want to preach to the best of my ability. Whether I'm, whatever's going on, wherever I'm at. But most of all, I want my heart to be nigh to my Creator. I want to have a relationship with my Creator. I want to know who He is. I want to understand who he is. The older I get, the more my desire is to just draw closer to him. The old song we used to sing, to draw closer to you, Lord. Just to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I long for. That's what my heart's desire is. James said it right in James 1 and 5, he said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and doesn't upbraid or criticize, and it shall be given to him." I want the Lord to know. I want the Lord to know. Before I ask for anything that I need down here, let me ask of wisdom from you, Lord. Let me ask of wisdom of you, Lord, to draw closer to you, Lord. I want to maintain a close relationship with my family. I want to maintain a close relationship with the people in my church, and rightfully so. Amen. The people that I worship with and worship next to. But more than anything, my relationship must be maintained with my Creator. Matthew 11 and 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." His cry rings out over the ages. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. This is the rest that you've been looking for. Amen. Amen. The image of God carrying a cross to Calvary. He's bowed down under the weight of the cross. Or perhaps could it be the weight of the sin of all humanity? Maybe it wasn't just the weight of the cross for Joseph, Cyrene, he carried it. Bow down under the weight of the sin of all the world. My sin. Without the shedding of blood, there would have been no remission of sin. An image is burned in my mind today. The God of the universe. A human body carrying his cross to die for me. The most perfect example, if ever would be, of God in human flesh formed together to bring about salvation for you and I. How could I do less? How could I do less than to know Him? To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to obey Him. And to obey His word is to find forgiveness of sin. Amen. Musicians, would you come? I'm closing here today. I remember a day in June of 1994. It's a small church in Atlanta, Texas. My father just preached a message there on a Sunday night. I was 5 years old. At the altar call, I went up by myself on the side where all the men were. And I began to pray. And I began to repent. I'll never forget the day. A few moments later, the Lord filled me so gloriously with the Holy Ghost. No one around me, just a little 5-year-old boy standing at the front. That was my first experience with revelation. And it has impacted me. But that was 31 years ago. That was 31 years ago, without continued revelation, without continued experience. That was wonderful. I'll never forget it as long as I live. But I've got to ask myself the question, who is He to me? Who is He to me? Has my relationship been nourished and has it been cherished? Who is He to me? Let me ask you here tonight. How long has it been since you just let down all the fences and you weren't worried about somebody else seeing you cry or seeing you pray? How long has it been since you let the sweat drop down off of your face and the snot run out of your nostrils because you didn't care anymore? I want Him to know I need Him with everything that I am. I want Him to know that I can't make it without Him. I want Him to know He's everything to me. The old song said, "The fairest of 10,000 to my soul, whom all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne." That's who He is to me. Who is He to you today? He longs for a relationship with His creation. Who is He to you? Who is He to you? Do you really know who He is? Why don't we stand today? I'm finished. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where life has taken you. I don't know what situations you're facing right now. But I do know a God in heaven above who longs for relationship with His highest creation. Not a relationship that is manufactured. I don't live for God just because I was raised in church. If that was the only reason, I'd been gone a long time ago. But thank God. Thank God, because of His great mercy, one day I had a real experience for myself. One day, it came off the pages of a book and found its way in my heart. Hallelujah. Why don't we make our way around the front for just a few moments here tonight as they begin to sing? Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and just begin to talk to Him? You don't need no learned language. You don't need no fancy words of man's wisdom. Why don't you speak to Him from your heart here today? The Lord longs for relationship with you. Don't let this night go by without reaffirming, reestablishing your relationship with Jesus. Oh, God.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Oh God, a hunger and a desire.
Anointing fall on me.
Come on, lift your voices to the Lord. Lift your voices to the Lord from your heart. You don't need no fancy words. Speak to Him from your heart here today. Father, I want to know You more. I want relationship with You like I've never had before. Oh.